want to just carry on with the studies I've been doing over the last few months on the fullness of the blessing, the Eden blessing. You know, in the week, I had a really good day. I sat down one day and just opened up the website and just went back and listened to some of the messages that we've got on there, some of the studies, listened to Brother Anthony sharing way back in, when he came, February, and just listened back over some of the messages and just really encouraged myself as I heard the word. Even some that I preached, it's amazing, some of the things you hear when you listen back to what you said. Did I say that? Did I really say that? It was good just to go back. So let me encourage you, if you haven't been onto the website just recently, just go on there and go back over the messages that we've had. And certainly with some of the Bible studies, you can download any notes that I've written and just follow them through. But I want to look this morning, again, back at, we've been doing a series of teaching from the book of Genesis on the blessing of Eden. There's something I want us to consider this morning from the last verse of chapter 2, Genesis 2. I don't know whether you ever considered this, but this is just put something into your spirit today, and something for you to consider and meditate and ponder on. The last verse of chapter 2, well, I'll read verse 24 as well and verse 25. We looked at, in our last set of studies, we looked at unity, where a man and his wife came together, and you know, it was God's heart. He said that it wasn't good that man should be alone, and he decided that he would make woman. And verse 24 says, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. It would appear that verse has just been added to the end of the chapter to just to give a little bit of like background. But I believe it contains an important truth concerning the blessing of Eden. It says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. If we just look at the few verses of the next chapter, you know, in chapter 3, the serpent comes to deceive Eve. And it begins to question Eve on the integrity of the word of God. It says, has God really said what he said? And verse 6 says this. It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took off its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, that's God, says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? You know, and then the man goes on, and man passes the blame to woman, and woman passes the blame to the serpent. Is it that something major happened when Adam and Eve sinned? We see here in chapter 3, they're stood in the garden in fear, trembling, ashamed something they had done, or perhaps not so much ashamed of what they had done, but of what had happened. Sin had robbed them of something which prior to their mistake, prior to their falling, or that their rebellious act, they had something special. They had something, there was something about them, because we read in chapter 2 that they were not ashamed. But in chapter 3, something's happened, and now they stand in ashamed and in fear of what has happened. So something's been taken from them. Something, sin has robbed them of something. Now what we see here is that in an attempt to try and remedy the situation, they sew themselves fig leaves together and make coverings. They tried to cover up their nakedness. They tried to cover up with leaves, with natural things, a sin that they committed. Not that it wouldn't have affected the sin. You know, they had sinned and that was it. But what was missing, they tried to cover. You know, whatever we try and do to cover up the sin that we commit, we've got to remember one thing. It might be hidden from others, but it's never hidden from God. Well, that's what we find in this chapter here, because God comes into the garden as he was accustomed to do in the cool of the evening, came down to fellowship with Adam and Eve. And it says they hid themselves from the presence of God. Even after trying to cover up and put right what they'd done, they still were ashamed. And they still had to hide, or felt the need to hide from God's presence. And then as we didn't read it, but as you go later on into the chapter in verses 21, it says that then God made Adam and Eve skins to wear. You know, God provided an alternative covering. And that was blood-based. That was based on the blood. Because blood had to be spilled to cover up or to deal with the sin that Adam had committed. And there's an important lesson there as well. You know, whenever we sin, let's make sure we come to the blood. Let's make sure we come in forgiveness. Only in repentance to God who will forgive us. You know, we come under that cleansing flow where our sins are washed away. But God provided a covering. Now what I want to ask this morning, I want us to think about and consider, what was it that Adam and Eve lost that caused them such shame? Which part of the blessing did they now not enjoy because of this sin? Well, before we answer that question this morning, I want us just to go back into chapter 1 and read some, what I think are key verses for the next scripture I'm going to read. In chapter 1, verse 26, we read these words. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Now I want to just bear in mind these scriptures from Genesis 1. God speaks and he says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. When God made man, he made him to rule and reign, and we're going to come on to that in a study in a few weeks' time, and when we consider part of the blessing of Eden is authority and dominion. But God gave man dominion and authority over all the earth, the creatures, the plant life, the vegetation and the fish in the sea, the birds that fly in there. God gave Adam and Eve authority. Verse 28 says this, then God blessed them. Now we all like, we hear it say, yeah, so many people say, you know, I went to church and it was such a blessing. It was, I need a blessing. And yeah, people talk like, pray like that. And what they're asking for is for God to do something tangible in their life. Something that they can see or feel or handle. Because in actual fact, the word, very often when we talk of blessing, we're talking about something. Something that we, it might be like a blessing of a healing in a body. Or we might be looking for some type of financial blessing. Or we might be looking for some sort of, even a spiritual blessing, that something like this. We're looking for something. And that's what, to some extent, that's what a blessing is. It's something that comes upon the person that's being blessed. It's a little bit like, we could liken it to the anointing. You know, in the scriptures we read, especially in the Old Testament, perhaps with the anointing and how they anointed the priests for ministry. You know, and that was, they took the anointing oil and poured it on their head and let it, and we get for that perfect picture in Psalm 133, which we read a couple of weeks back, where it dripped down onto Aaron's, down his face, onto his beard, and onto the skirts of his garments. That was a something physical that was upon the priest, the oil, and it dripped down his being. You know, the word bless really means to invoke or to put upon. In the book of Numbers, and I don't mean us to turn there now, but in Numbers 6, at the end of Numbers 6, we get the blessing that God commanded his ministers to proclaim. It says, that you speak, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And he says, as you pronounce that blessing, you're putting my name upon God's people, upon the people. You're invoking something upon them. You know, and that's what a blessing is. So God puts something upon man. And it's that something we're going to, that's something that Adam and Eve lost when they sinned. And we're going to look at what I believe that is. So bear in mind, keep Genesis 1 in your hearts, in your minds, particularly the words of verse 26, where it says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And keeping that in mind, come with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 8. Psalm 8. I love this psalm. It starts off with a tremendous sort of statement of praise. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You know, in this psalm, as you read through this psalm, you'll see David is considering where he is, I don't know, maybe he's in the field watching over the flocks. But he's considering the creation of God. Because it goes on in verse 3, he says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Then he asks a question. He goes on, he's thought about the creation, he's thought about the sun, the moon, the stars, the things he could. And he says, oh, what about man? What is man? He just needs to go and say, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Now this Psalm 8. You know, David's considering the works of creation. He considers the sun, he considers the moon, the stars. He considers what he can see around him as he looks, no doubt scanning around the hills and the fields and sees all the sheep that he's got in his care. They say, oh, this is so wonderful, Lord. You know, Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You know, you're excellent, Lord. You've done this, you've done that, you've created this. I said, oh, and what about me? What is man that you're mindful of him? Now Hebrews, the book of Hebrews picks up on this verse and attributes these things to Jesus. But I believe this verse is actually talking about you and me. Because if you read on in the chapter, it says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Now this is the thing, it's taken, yes it is about you. Everything's been put under Jesus' feet. Hebrews tells us that. But God gave authority and dominion to man. And David's considering creation. He's considering the planets. He's considering the sun, the moon. He's considering the hills, the fields, the animals. He's considering man, God's creation. And he says that you've made him a little lower than the angels. Well, actually, the Hebrew word there is the word Elohim, which actually means God. Actually, the word for God. One of the modern translations puts it like this. This is the Amplified. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of earthborn man that you care for him? Yet you have made him but a little lower than God or heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. See, when God created man, what does it say? It says, then God blessed them. God put upon them, I'll tell you what God put upon them, he crowned man with glory and honor. And it was the glory that covered man in Eden. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the glory. They lost their covering. They lost what was keeping them. They lost their honor, their integrity. They lost everything that they had. Now, if you think about it, the opposite of honor is shame, or dishonor is shame. And that's exactly what they felt when they saw their nakedness. They stood, they looked at themselves, and they stood ashamed. The glory had gone. God had clothed them, crowned them with glory and honor, and their sin cut them off from the glory. This shouldn't sound strange to us, because there's a verse in the New Testament, a good old gospel verse, which we use, and we use to, in our gospel messages when we're preaching to the lost. And it's often quoted in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The Bible says this, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, sin brings us short of the glory. Cuts us off from the glory. Sin will cause you to be cut off where the glory is concerned. Again, the Amplified says this of this verse. It says, since all have sinned and are falling short of the honour and glory which God bestows and receives. Man was crowned with glory, and through his act of rebellion, when he sinned, he came short of the glory. Now we're looking at the fullness of Eden's blessing, and we started off at the beginning of the year saying that God wants to restore to the church and restore to his people what Adam enjoyed in Eden. And if you remember, we looked at Eden, we looked at what it was like, we said that was God's perfection for man. And then we looked ahead to heaven, we said, look, that's what God's preparing, and that's perfection. And Eden and heaven are almost identical. And the only difference is in the bit in between, which is under sin. You know, sin cut Adam and Eve off from the Garden of Eden, and sin will cut us off from heaven. So somewhere along the line, we've got to get rid of sin, we've got to deal with sin, we've got to come back to God. And since we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory, then obviously when we repent and when we deal with the sin, it will bring us to the standard of the glory, to where the glory is. The blessing brings greater glory. Now I want to just look at two more verses before I finish this morning. One's in the Old Testament, one's in the New. Just turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. Now Isaiah 61 is a very well known passage of scripture in Isaiah. Jesus used it in his sermon in Nazareth when he stood up to preach. If you remember, he came to Nazareth and they handed him the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and he turned to the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. And he went through and said what God had anointed him to do. And that's taken from the first three verses of this chapter in Isaiah 61. But what Jesus stated as he was quoting this very passage, he said that the Holy Spirit had come upon him. He says God had anointed him, or could we put it like this, the blessing had come upon him. You know, God had anointed him with the blessing. And this blessing or this anointing on Jesus, wherever Jesus went, it produced manifestations of the glory. People were healed. People were saved. People were delivered from sin. People were delivered from the oppression of the enemy. We get a glimpse of it. Peter catches a glimpse of it in the book of Acts, where he says, look, he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good. Doing good. That's, we haven't got time this morning to look at the difference of the parallel between the glory and goodness. But it said he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. So this blessing came upon Jesus. And Jesus quotes it in part of this chapter, part of what he was saying that happened to him, you know, how the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. You know, in the very same chapter, go down to verse 7. He says, when the blessing comes upon you, he says, instead of shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of shame, you'll have double honor. Or, you know, a double portion of the glory. You know, it's going to be restored. There's coming a restoration of the glory of God to the church. The blessing brings double honor instead of shame. Yeah, Adam and Eve stood in shame. But God says that when the blessing comes, it's going to bring double honor instead of shame. Now you've only got to look at Eden, you've got to look at heaven, you'll see that both places were surrounded with the glory of God. Well, Eden was, heaven is. Surrounded by the glory. You know, when Jesus was born, the same thing happened. You know, the glory of God surrounded the whole district around Bethlehem. In Luke 2:9, it says, the angel said, so it was with the heavenly host, a mighty throng. Let's just get the reading right. I think I've jumped ahead to the verse. In Luke 2:9, yes, it says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. This is to the shepherds in the fields. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. You know, when the angel came to announce the birth of the Savior, the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah, it says the glory shone around them. You know, the glory surrounded Jesus. I want to say this morning, in closing, that yes, sin will cause us to fall short of the glory, but the blessing of the Lord, or the blessing of Eden, will surround us with the glory. That's all that happened in the case of Adam and Eve. You know, they were created, and they were surrounded or clothed with glory, crowned with glory and honor. And sin cut them off from the glory. So they realized, they saw their nakedness, they saw that they were no longer had that covering. It says, and they stood ashamed. But Jesus came. You know, Jesus came to, as we know, to deal with sin. That's what we've remembered this morning, that Jesus was crucified, he went to the cross. Took our punishment so that we could have peace. So that we could know forgiveness. You know, when he came, the glory of God surrounded him. Actually, in fact, it was the early disciples, and particularly John, as he writes in his gospel, in the first chapter of his gospel, he says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He says, we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. We beheld the glory of God upon him. We saw that the glory surrounded him. You know, when we get close to the blessing, you know, the glory of God will surround us. You know, that's what was perhaps one of the first things that they lost in the garden. They lost the glory. It's one of the blessings of Eden. You know, if we want to see the fullness of the Eden blessing in our life, let's get close to God, because where God is, there is his glory. His glory is all around him. Let's get close to God. Let's deal with sin. Let's come back to God. Let's not try and cover up anything we've done wrong. You know, that's what Adam and Eve tried to do. They tried to an imitation for the glory. That's all the fig leaves were, just an imitation. We don't want anything that's not real. We want to touch, you know, the holy fire of God. You know, get close to God, because that will bring us the glory of God. You know, I'd encourage you, I started off talking about the website, and on the website, I don't think there's the audio versions of it, but certainly the notes. Just go back, you can go back and look at the series of teaching we did last year on the glory of God, and pick up just some of the things about the glory. Surrounded by the glory, the blessing of Eden. They lost it, but Jesus came to restore it. You know, we can enter into the glory of God this day, today, because of what Jesus has done for us. He You know, nothing's kept from us. Everything that was, that's what these series of teachings have been about. Everything that was in Eden, everything that's in heaven, we can enjoy because of what Jesus has done for us now. So let's just come and pray as we draw our this word to a close this morning. It's good just to come before the Lord at the end of a word and just ask the Lord to minister to us, His Holy Spirit, to put that word right into our spirits. You know, deal with areas of our life that aren't quite right. You know, this morning as we just pray, you know, quietly, just between you and God, you don't have to make anything public. You know, we each know where we are with God. Perhaps there are things in our life that we're trying to cover up or trying to hide. We may be successful at keeping it from people in the church or people we work with or people at home. But we can't keep anything from God. God sees. And let's deal with it right now. So that, you know, God's glory can just come upon us and saturate us and surround us. And so that the blessing of God will become effective in our lives. Father, we just give you thanks and praise this morning for this word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, the blessing of Eden, Lord. Lord, you came to restore, Lord, what Adam enjoyed, but lost through rebellion and sin. Lord, as we've seen this morning, part of that blessing is, Lord, your glory upon your people. Lord, you crowned your creation with glory and honor. And yet, Lord, we stand ashamed today, Lord, because of sin. Lord, because of sin, we have guilt. Lord, we lost the glory, we've lost our honor, Lord, of the integrity. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you can restore that. Lord, as we come to you, Father, we just lay ourselves, Lord, upon the altar this morning, Lord, and just ask, Lord, for your forgiveness. Lord, we come in repentance today, Lord. Lord, where we know, Lord, in our lives, Lord, that things aren't quite right, Lord, we, Lord, bring them to you, Lord. Lord, we repent of our sin and, Lord, of, Lord, any attempts to try and, Lord, hide what we've done. Lord, even any attempts, Lord, to try and, seek alternative or imitation, Lord, things for the blessing. And Father, we just fully surrender before you this morning. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, just to surround us, Lord, even today, Lord, with your glory. Lord, with, Lord, your honor. Lord, that you impart, Lord, to us. Lord, invoke, Lord, a blessing, Lord, to us today. Lord, not just a blessing, Lord, but the blessing. Lord, we're looking for the blessing that comes from you. Lord, we're looking for you as you yourself, Lord. Lord, just to come and fill us and thrill us and excite us. Lord, rekindle, Lord, that love, Lord, that fire, Lord, that passion, Lord, that we had. Lord, just fill us with your Spirit, Lord, this day. Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.